Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on the Beatitudes. Today we are reflecting on the sixth Beatitude that is reported in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Purity of heart and beatific vision, the two themes. That is the center of the sixth Beatitude. The pure in heart. We have to analyze both words, pure and heart. The word pure is a translation from the Greek katharos, and that is a cultic term. The word is used in the liturgical language. An object that is presented before the deity, before God, has to be pure, ritually pure. The purity is mostly an external thing in this context. An animal that has different colors, or an animal that is lame, is an impure animal. A fruit that is not clean, a fruit that has some faults in it, is an impure fruit. Such impure things should not be offered on the altar of God. Whatever one offers to God should be pure. So this is a cultic term. Not only the object, but also the person who offers the sacrifice has to be ritually pure. According to the Bible, a person, especially the Old Testament, a person becomes ritually impure by touching something that is impure. For example, a person who touches a dead body is impure. A person who comes into contact with an impure person, for example, a leper, is impure. A person with an issue of blood or any other issue of bodily fluids is impure. Such persons cannot enter the temple, and such persons are not allowed to offer sacrifices. So purity is a cultic term. But this cultic term has also another implication. So the external purity was emphasized, but this external purity should be a kind of expression of an inner holiness, inner purity. But unfortunately, in the Pharisaic Judaism, the external purity was given greater importance, while the inner attitude was not given such importance. So Jesus is speaking about purity, but not the external, but of the internal purity. And that's where he inserts the word heart. Leb is the Hebrew term. Cardia is the Greek term. As I already mentioned in another talk, heart in the biblical sense is not an object, an instrument, an organ of emotion. It's not only an organ of feelings. Heart is the center of the being. Heart is the center of the decision-making person. So the purity of heart would mean not only in the emotional level, but the entire person should be pure. It's the center of the personality. It is from the heart that all the desires come. It is from the heart all the plannings come. It is from the heart that the decisions are made. So the purity in heart means the purity of the total person. So pure in heart. Very often it happened, especially in the Old Testament, that emphasis shifted from this inner being to the outer appearance. Sacrifices were offered in plenty in the temple. Many religious practices were exercised, but the real heart was not there. And that's why God objected to these religious practices of sacrifices, festivals, pilgrimages, singing and dancing, and all the religious exercises were somehow condemned through the prophets. Not because they were not acceptable in themselves, but these religious practices lacked the backing of a religious sentiment, a religious attitude, an attitude of the heart. Just two examples would suffice. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 7, we have this scathing attack on a hypocritical cult, a cult that has become only an outer shell of religion, only a show of religion without any inner being. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. So this is rejecting sacrifices because there is no justice, there is no righteousness, there is no real devotion in the heart of the people who offer these sacrifices. So if these sacrifices are to be acceptable to God, then what should they do? Isaiah 1, 16 and 17. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. This is how the heart becomes clean. Not by offering sacrifices, not by washing oneself in the blood of bulls or rams, or burning fat on the altar, but cleansing the heart. That's what God wants. Another example, I take from the book of Joel, written in the context of a plague of locusts. The prophet is asking for a great assembly of repentance, penance, etc. And this penance has to be done not by just external activities. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Rend your heart, not your clothing. So that is what Jesus is also telling about the purity of heart. And this purity of heart, one will obtain through God's special intervention, God's favor in the new covenant. That's what God promised through Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 and 26. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols, I'll cleanse you. A new heart I'll give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A heart of stone that does not move by compassion. A heart of stone that has no feeling for the weak, for the sick, for the person in need and suffering. I'll give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive to the duty of charity, a heart that is sensitive to the devotion, true devotion to God, a heart that feels for the weak, a heart that goes out in sympathy and compassion. That heart is a pure heart, washed clean by God's love. So Jesus is speaking about a pure heart. And this pure heart will enable one to see God. Now, how does one's heart become impure? And how does Jesus speak about this purity of heart? The entire Sermon on the Mount, nay, even the whole teaching of Jesus, we can say is centered on this purity. Jesus is calling attention to the heart. How you live, how you think, what are your intentions, your motivations, the secret desires, that's where Jesus concentrates. It's not exactly what you say and what you do that matters. It is the intention by which you do it. It's the purpose for which you are doing it. It is the heart that matters. And it's not enough that to cleanse your hand, wash your feet, or wash your clothes. It's not enough to keep the dietary laws, not eating foods that are prescribed, that are forbidden by the law. That's how Jesus got into conflict with the lawyers. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, there's a dispute about the tradition of the elders. And towards the end of it, when Jesus says, what is important is not what goes into the mouth, but what comes from out of the mouth. Not exactly what you eat, but how you think and how you live. So Mark comes at the end of this dispute in chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. He said to them, the disciples were asking, what does it mean? Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, it is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So that is exactly what Jesus tells, what makes a heart impure. All these evil inclinations, evil desires, secret desires, secondary motivations, hidden agenda of a person, all this make a person unclean. And such unclean person cannot enter the house of God, cannot stand before God. In fact, the saying of Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is a reformulation, it would seem, of the Psalm 24, verses 3 to 5. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? The psalmist is asking. And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts. Only those with pure hearts can stand on the holy place. The mountain, the hill of the Lord is Jerusalem, Zion. And the house of the Lord is the temple of Jerusalem. The same idea is repeated or presented in greater detail in Psalm 15 presents the question, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? People come to the temple, to the holy hill, seeking the presence of God, seeking the face of God, to see God. And who can enter? And the psalmist gives the answer, those who walk blamelessly. Those who walk blamelessly with pure heart. And this blameless walking is presented in 10 distinctive ways. And this the scholars call the liturgical decalogue. Those who do what is right. Those who speak the truth from their heart. Those who do not slander with their tongue. Do no evil to their friends. Nor take up reproach against their neighbors. In whose eyes the wicked are despised. But who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. These are the 10 ways by which the heart can be kept pure. So Jesus is harking back to the prophetic and the poetic traditions of the Old Testament when he tells us about the purity of heart. And one thing Jesus attacked with all violent vigor was hypocrisy. That you do one thing and say something else. That your heart is somewhere and you appear or pretend to be something else. Hypocrisy is something Jesus could not tolerate. And that's how he got into conflict with many leaders of Judaism. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, we have Jesus' scathing attack on the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, which is reported by the apostle Matthew, not to give us a historical information of how Jesus attacked the Pharisees, but how Jesus sees the heart of his disciples. So the hypocrisy is not acceptable to God, not acceptable to Jesus. The heart, that is what matters. Unless the heart is clear, unless the heart is clean of all evil intentions, all subterfuges, then one cannot stand in God's presence. And we are invited not to an earthly temple, not to enter a particular shrine. We are promised the beatific vision, shall see God face to face. In fact, at the Last Supper, one of the disciples had asked, Master, show us the Father, that's enough for us. And Jesus said, you have been so long with me, Philip, have you not understood me? The one who sees me sees the Father, Jesus said. To see the Father in Jesus, one should have this purity of heart, purity of intent, purity of integrity. In the letter of St. John, the first letter, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, John tells us something. Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. That is what the Bible tells us about the eternal life, to be with God, to be God's children, to see God. We'll be like him because we'll see him as he is, the beatific vision. The vision of God is possible only when the heart is pure. A clouded mirror would not reflect our face properly. A disturbed water cannot reflect any image. The image will be shattered into thousands of pieces. But water that is still and pure and clean will reflect the image. The same way, the heart that is pure, the heart does not harbor any evil intentions, that does not have any secondary motives hidden from the others, the heart that is not hypocritical will be able to see God. That was what the publican in the parable of prayer. The Pharisee went and prayed before God, standing right in front of God, saying, I thank you, God, for I am not like many others. I obey your commandments, I give tithes, etc. But the publican, who was so aware of his sinfulness, so he was so sincere in his heart, did not dare to look up to heaven because he knew that he was a sinner. And he beat his breast and confessed, claimed, cried, Lord, have mercy on me, I am a sinner. So this attitude of openness, sincerity, will reveal the face of God to us. In fact, this is what purity of heart means, to be sincere without any hypocrisy, evil intentions, hidden intentions. Let us open ourselves, however sinful we are. Whatever be the evil that is in us, let us open before God and ask him to cleanse us and show himself to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for promising us your vision. Enable us to see your face. Cleanse our hearts from all evil intentions, ill feelings, hypocrisy, and hatred. Enable us to love as you love us, a compassionate, merciful love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.